30 with me this morning, please. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6. Start reading with verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 1. Came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. Remember the Amalekites. God would have war with Amalek. And we know that they tried to wipe out Israel by Hammedatha, the son of Hammedatha. What was his name? In the book of who? Naaman. Exactly. Verse 2. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But note very carefully, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Father, bless your name now. Bless your holy name. Give me unction to preach the word. Open the hearts of the people to receive it, Father. May they receive it, not as the word of man, but as it is the word of God. In thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We know the story of David throughout the Old Testament. If you take David out, you've gutted the Old Testament. For he was the king. He was the king for 40 years. 40 in the Bible is the number of testing. The children of Israel spent 40 years in wandering in the wilderness. When they had refused the blessing of Kadesh Barnea, they could have received it, gone into the land, but because they rejected it and refused it, then they wandered for 40 years. Immediately God turned them back from where they came from. The Almighty's character is what's at stake. It's always at stake. Who do you believe in? What do you believe about the one that you believe in? Do you believe he's right? Do you believe he's righteous? Do you believe he's holy? Do you believe he cannot make a mistake? Do you believe that every decree that God gives, he's the Almighty who says it from a heart of abundant love toward mankind? Is there another that you put your trust in? Do you trust in your intellect, your ability, your achievements, your education, your friendship, your job? Who and what do you trust today? We're facing a dark time in this country like we never faced before. This is a novel thing. In other words, a new thing. And the only thing that I can say to you this morning is this. I have no idea how much that's going to change out there. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the one that I serve changes not. Amen. He changes not. He's the immutable God. And so we read here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 30 about David, who is being accused by his own men, and I understand their feelings. You have a lot of emotion involved here. If your children and your wives and your family had been carried off, well, I'm sure you'd be upset over it, and they were very upset over it. And it even talked of stoning David. If you'll notice what happens in verse number 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now, you may not really know what's going on here, but this is what's happening. When the high priest would carry this to David or someone else in the Bible, it was literally what was called the Urim and the Thummim. And here they inquired of God, and God would answer through this. There's still a lot of controversy as to how this happened, but the word itself means lights and perfections. And so when David goes before Abiathar, and he inquires of God in verse number 8, the Lord, David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. That's good enough for David. Amen.
That was good enough for him. Amen. He received the word from the priest. He received the word from God that he should go on. And this is David. This is what we understand about David. There are four times in David's life when he's greatly distressed. The first time is, my friend, when Nathan came to him and told him the story about how he'd taken the single little lamb. And of course, this had to do with Bathsheba. It had to do with his adulterous relationship with her. The second time that David was distressed is when he fled from Saul. And he was a fugitive from Saul, the king of Israel. He went down to Ein Gedi, down around the Dead Sea. And there he went into a cave and he hid from Saul. Third time that he was distressed is when he fled from Absalom, his son, who came in to take the kingdom away from him. And so he fled from him. And then the fourth time is where we're reading this morning. It's when his own people wanted to stone him to death. And so what did David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. He took strength from God. And that's where the only place that God will allow you today to draw strength is from Him and Him alone. There's a lot of other places you can turn to and things. But let me tell you something, folks. Not so much as a sparrow falls to the ground without the Almighty knowing it. Amen. He allows. He's God. He's sovereign. Amen. My life is in His hands. And I hope and pray that you get a hold of something like that, because we live and move and have our being by the Lord God Almighty. So David is quite a thing here that we read about him. David wrote some psalms while he was in flight, and he wrote many psalms. But I want to give you just a little bit from three of them. Psalm 63, verse 1, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, he said, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Do you want to know the answer to our problems today, dear friend? Do you want to know the answer, not a answer? No, no, no. The answer is the Lord God Himself. If you know Him personally, then you all have a direct access to the throne of God. If you're looking to medical science to give you peace, you're looking at the wrong one. Medical science is okay. That's fine. But that is not where your peace and security comes from. It comes from the Almighty. In Psalm 61, verse 1, to the chief musician upon Meganah, a psalm of David. The Lord, and David said, Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I like that. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There is one that is greater than me. There is one that is greater than all of us today. There is a rock that is immovable. There is a rock that standeth sure. There is a rock that you can hide yourself in the cleft of that rock. There is a rock that becomes a mark, my friend, where you know who you believe and where you came from. And that rock is Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, he said that rock was Christ and that rock followed them. Amen. Hide me in the cleft of the rock. Put my foundation down. Let me stand on the rock and not on ability or human ability or human achievement. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 6 once again. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. His own people turned against him. It's a remarkable thing how that in times of distress, you really begin to see the character of the people about you. There is nothing, my dear friend, nothing in this life that can reveal who and what you are when distress comes. Amen. This is when you're going to find out who you are. Now is when you find out what you're made out of. Amen. Not when you're on the mountain. Thank God for the mountain. Shout all you can. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend, it's not the mountain that reveals who you are. It's in the valley when you realize who and what you are and what you believe. Over here in the book of Matthew chapter 23, rather, in verse 37. This is one of the most beautiful passages in all the Bible. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 37. The Lord stands outside Jerusalem and He says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. This is refuge. This is a place of safety. This is a place to go to when He covers you with His wings. I'll tell you this right now. If you're covered by that wing today, nothing can penetrate that wing. Amen. You need to understand something. He'd been rejected by the Jews, and they had hated Him and despised Him. And here He was coming down to the end of His ministry on this earth. He looked at Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, the city of the great King, the city of peace, Mount Moriah, Abraham, and all that. And He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chickens." So many times in the Old Testament, it mentions time and time and time and time again about coming under the shadow of His wings, under His wings and the protection of His wings. They say the Roman Empire had eagles. They say they carried those eagles. The eagle therefore represented Rome. You know what the eagle is? The eagle's it's a bird of prey. It's a remarkable bird, as a matter of fact. There aren't many around like an eagle. Can fly into the sun and screams as it flies into the sun. That's why they call them the screaming eagles. It takes its young. And when they reach a certain time, it carries them out on its wings. And it will drop them and teach them flight. And it will teach them how to soar, because these are birds that soar with the thermals and with the air. So an eagle is quite a thing. You see, but the Lord Jesus Christ is comparing Himself and His people into the eagle. And He says, "I'm nothing but a chicken. I'm just like a hen. If you'll come, I'll gather you under my wings." That's where I'll be. That's where I am today. If I live or die or move or about whatever, I'm under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. My life is in His hands. Don't let this world beat you to death and try to scare your faith out of you. Amen. So what is a refuge? A refuge is a safe retreat, a place of healing and renewal, a stronghold from which to launch a counterattack. There are false refuges in the Bible. Over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 139, it talks about a refuge of flight. They fled when the problem came. They fled. In the Old Testament, you read about Israel fleeing down to Egypt. When they fled down to Egypt, they worshiped the Queen of Heaven. They said, "Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? He can't feed me." Yes, He can. He'll send you a famine so you'll look up and thank God from where your food came from. Every famine in the Bible, there's a distinct reason for that famine. It's in a place. There's a reason for it. And there was a famine in the land in the book of Ruth. Have you read about that one? That famine drove them out of the land. It rolled them into the land of the Moabites. Did it not? And one good thing came out of all of it, and it was Ruth the Moabitess. Amen. You couldn't have seen it at the beginning. We're going through a famine. The Bible said we're going through a famine when you have a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. The false prophets rise up and they say, "Peace, peace, peace," when there is no peace. They said the government's going to take care of you. Yeah, my friend, this government may not be here 6 months from now. There are forces outside this country that would like to destroy this country in a heartbeat. Make no mistake about it. This country may not be here a year or six or a year or two or 3 years from now. May not be here. But I'm going to tell you one government that will forever stand. His kingdom. He said, "My kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. I live for one who saved me and loves me. And I'll always be His. I'll walk streets of pure transparent gold." False refuge, therefore, is flight. A false refuge is human support. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 5. It's not that we shouldn't pray and support each other, but the problem is that you turn to man. Listen to this. "Thus saith the Lord God, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Did you know at the beginning they told you that this virus could not be passed from human to human? Did then you remember that? Then they told you not to wear a mask. Then they told you that this probably came from a fish market, that it was something that arises naturally. Now we have a scientist. We have scientists, more than one, are saying that in the lab they brought two separate viruses together to create what we're dealing with right now. And we have confusion. Some of you look at me this morning and say, "Well, what do you know about it, preacher?" I don't know any more than I read in the newspaper. Amen. Amen. Don't you believe the newspaper? But I'm going to tell you something. I don't trust men. Amen.
I don't trust them. I do not trust men, but I trust Him. I trust Him. Watch the way they use this thing. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. We may be confused about its origin. We may have no access to that knowledge. But watch what it produces and what they're doing with it. And they're preparing you for a mark. Make no mistake about it. In Jeremiah chapter number 6, verse 14, there's a false confidence. And this is false, false, false. So therefore, my dear friend, there are people who flee to everything instead of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 27, there's only one true refuge. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, one of the first verses of Scripture. When I got to this, it jumped off the pages of the Bible. I hadn't been saved any time. And I loved this from the first time I ever read it. Look at it. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. This is one of the most beautiful Scriptures that you'll ever read in your life. You know, the Bible's got some beautiful stuff. It has. In their afflictions, He was afflicted, it says. And the angel of His presence went before them. Oh yeah, yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art there. Thou rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. That's beautiful stuff. Now look here at 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. What do you mean? I mean, emphasize eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. I'm here today and I'm gone tomorrow. I'll only be here in a little short time. My time on earth will be finished and I'll be gone. But let me tell you something. I stand on a solid rock today, and my faith is in one who is from everlasting to everlasting. The eternal God is my refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He changes not. We change. We're constantly changing. We change for the most part by reaction. That's how we're made. Why? Because we can't see into the future. He does not change. He is eternal. Have you got your faith in the eternal one? Have you hooked your wagon to the one who never fails? Have you put your faith in Him that liveth forever and ever? When you walk out of this house today, will you walk out scared to death that you may come down with this virus? Folks, if I come down with it, I come down with it. But it's not going to change my faith in God. This is how you live today. I'm telling you something. I'm trying my best to show you something. This is what I believe. It doesn't make any difference how many plagues come out there. It doesn't make any difference how many riots are in the street. It doesn't make any difference how much they tear down these statues and stuff in this country. It doesn't make any difference how many perverts like they have in California right now. They have an elected legislator in California that is trying to get a law passed saying that it is okay for a sodomite to have sex with a child. That they could even do it. He ought to be put in jail for even trying it. Amen. That the nation even bothers to give him a moment of time to hear that. We got a problem, folks. Got a big, 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 big problem. I look around me and I see everything falling down. I see the things that I've loved for so many years about my nation. They're turned upside down. They're calling evil good and good evil. This is what the Bible said it would be like. So what do you do, preacher? Do you get upset? Do you run? Do you lose your faith? What happens? What if the church becomes apostate? What if all the churches in the country become apostate? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I care not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I'm standing on a solid rock. I'm standing on an eternal God that underneath are the everlasting wings. He holds me. His arms hold me. I live or I die. I exist. I breathe according to Him. And He will never die. Amen. We'll make it like that. I'm going to give you a few things here in our close this morning. I'm going to give you some refuges that we find in the Bible. True. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter number 22, if you'd like to turn there with me, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2.
The Word of God said, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I watched a lot of stuff in the years that I've been saved and preaching the Word of God. I've seen so many faces like I do today. I see your faces. So many of you in this house this morning, you just hold. You're ready. You're ready. You're ready to meet the Lord. But there's an awful lot of people who just, well, I'm just biding my time, doing the best I can. You roll with the punches. You know, I mean, surely it's going to get better. Surely life will get back to the way it used to be. But it may never get back like that again. But that's okay. That's not my life. The Bible said my life is here with Christ and God. Amen. My conversation is above, not here. What's a conversation? My life, my way of life, my living. It is above and not here. So, here's what we have. It says that in Psalm, in 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, he's our fortress. What is a fortress? A fortress is a fort. What is a fort? A fort is built to protect land, to possess a certain area, to shield and to bivouac, to keep an army, battalion, or regiment, or whatever, company. A fort is built for that. In other words, it is a place built to prepare for war. Amen. I hope you haven't thrown up a white flag. I hope you haven't quit. I hope you haven't said, what use is there to pray? It's a waste of time. No, it's not a waste of time. You ought to be praying more now than you ever had. We ought to be doing some real praying. Let me tell you what to pray for. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. I'd love to go up holding the Bible. I'd like to leave out of here like you wouldn't believe. If the Lord Jesus comes to catch us up to meet Him in the clouds, there'd be nothing greater than that. There's an awful lot of people out there who read their Bible every day. They study and they pray and they're on their face before God. They're good Christian people. They love the Lord. And you know what? They're saying there's just something moving in their soul. They think He's coming back. They think He's coming back soon. And that's exciting. Amen. While they're lined up to be treated for the plague, boom, up we go. Hallelujah. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Hallelujah. That blessed hope. Glorious appearing. I can't even get this preached because I get so excited about that. I believe in the second coming, folks. How many of you believe He came the first time? He's going to, well, He'll come the second time then. Amen. He came the first time. He will come the second time. I'll give you a couple more here. We talked about the rock. I'll knock this one right here in Psalm 91, verse 1. I love this one. Psalm 91, verse 1. You know the Bible's a wonderful book, isn't it? It's a wonderful book. You ought to read it, pray over it, put your hand on it, say, Lord, this is your word. Show me. Read, teach me. That I may behold wondrous things from thy word. Psalm 91, verse 1. The text says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So what does that mean, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's the devil right there, okay? There he is. There's the devil. All right. If the Lord comes between me and the devil, then whose shadow am I going to be standing in? I'll be standing in the Lord's shadow. That means He's going to get between me and Satan. He'll fight the battle for me. Is Satan wearing you out? He wears me out. He'll get me to the point where I'm agreeing with him. Oh, you never had that happen to you. But I've had some trouble with him. So what do? You get on your face. You say, Lord, I let him get me. And then start praying again
Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You're not going to beat him intellectually. You're going to try to argue with Satan, we'll tear you to pieces. But if you call on the name of the Lord and say, Satan, forget me. You got to deal with my God right here.
Amen.
And the hat in the shadow of his wings. Amen. Sheltering wings. He's a shield. The Bible said over here in the book of Genesis 15, verse 1, he's a shield. What's a shield for? It's to stop the fiery darts of the devil. If nothing else, it's for certain that it's for that. The fiery darts of the devil. How many of you ever got up in the morning, felt good, and all of a sudden when you go to bed that night you've been beat to death because you've been hit with everything under the sun? That's the devil. That's Satan. He's good at it. Here's the thing. He knows, men, the devil knows more about you than your wife does. Now meditate on that. Because she knows everything about you. Same way the other way. Ladies, Satan knows more. He knows more about your husband than you know. Either way it goes, he knows. He's a shield. And then finally, he's my high tower. What's a high tower? Well, they didn't have balloons and planes and all of that, so they built a tower. That's why Masada was such a wonderful thing. Herod took Masada and he built him a palace up there. You know, Herod the so-called great, the baby killer back there 2,000 years ago. I climbed to the top of Masada. I got up there at the top of that thing. I looked around. You see the Dead Sea down below you? You mean you got a perfect perspective all around. It's a wonder. I mean, you talk about you could put some artillery on top of that thing. Boy, you'd do something. And this is where they were. Masada. It's a strong tower. In other words, you can see afar off. That's what a tower's for. It's for you to see the coming of the enemy. How many this morning see him coming?
Amen.
He's coming. He's coming. Yeah, he is. He's coming. And when he comes, I hope you're ready. I'm going to read this and we'll close. Revelation 6, verse 13 through 17. The stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Revelation 6:13. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, follow us. And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see, it's your distinct privilege and blessing to one day see God. I cannot for a minute tell you what you're going to see when you look at that eternal being, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Trinity, and you'll be looking right at him. But I'm going to tell you right now, that is going to be something. But it will be pure hell for the unsaved. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Father, bless your word. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord. You've been good to me. You've added to my life. You've given me days. You've blessed me. You've blessed me so much, so much, so much, so much. I don't deserve anything. You've been good to me. I bless your righteous name. Father, I give this out today to help somebody. Lord, I'm here to beat somebody over the head. I'm here to help them. The Bible says, if God be for them, who can be against them? And I'm for them. I want to help people. I pray your word now will not return void. It'll accomplish that which you please, and it'll prosper in the thing whereto you've sent it. In Jesus' name. Nobody looking right now. This is an important time. Folks don't have a lot of time left now. I mean, you can't just keep going on and on and on and on and on. It's about to run out. We're about to enter into the Great Tribulation somewhere down the line, not far from here. And we're not going into it. We're leaving. Are you ready? Are you ready? Does it strike fear in your heart to think you might be looking at God in just a few weeks or months or a year or so? Does that scare you? Think about that. Does that scare you? Does that bother you? My. Do you long for Him? Do you thirst after Him? As David said, my soul thirsteth after Thee. He hungered for God. That's one of the things that makes David a man after God's own heart. There's spiritual things said about David that aren't said about anybody in the Bible. He's capable of the lowest low, but he's also capable of the highest high. That's David. That's David. And I mean, he knew how to call upon God. You can identify with David. Identify with him. Won't you come? Would you come down here? We'll open the Bible. Be glad to show you what to do. We can't save you. We're not going to tell you you are saved. We're not going to pronounce some wave some hand over your head and pronounce you saved or this. No, we're not going to do that. But we will show you the Bible. That salvation is an issue between you and God. That's in your heart. That's between you and the Lord. We want you to. Lord have mercy. We want you to be saved. But that's between you and God. Anybody, would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, won't you pray for me this morning? Because I'm worried. It scares me to think that I'm going to wake up some morning and my mom and dad are gone, or my husband, my wife is gone, or my children are gone, and I'm still here, and I got to go into this tribulation. Don't you see how bad it's getting? That's where you're headed. It's getting bad, folks. That's where you're headed. I don't go into that. That's where you're going, though, if you don't know the Lord. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, just pray for me. Nobody's going to drag you anywhere. Nobody's going to force you to do anything. God bless you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We plant the seed. We sow the seed. We break up the fallow ground. Maybe I've sowed seed. Maybe I'm just watering. Somebody else sowed it. But it's God that gives the increase. Doesn't matter who sows or waters. Neither matter. It doesn't make any difference. That's what Paul said. It is God that gives the increase. That's where it's coming from. Not me. Father, in Jesus' name, pray for that hand. These dear folk, thank you for the opportunity one more time to stand and preach your holy word. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In thy name I pray.